One of the things that I wanted to share with you this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet says, "Surely it is God who saves us. We will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my light and the Lord will be my Savior." Those are good words for this day. Good words of light. Good words for us to be able to say thank you to God for the gift of salvation this morning. We do have a couple of announcements. I'm going to ask Dick if you will go ahead and come forward.
Same again. Let me ask you a question. I know what my answer is already, but I know what I'm talking about here too. Have you ever wished if you could have done something again or not done something again, that you had a chance to do it again? Yeah, we're all that way. Stewardship falls at a unique time in our lives. In the Thanksgiving, Christmas rush time of the year, and we give out stewardship information for you to fill out, me to fill out, turn them back in. Is it the next week or the week after? Or did we first turn back in then? I know the thought process. And we got a very small percentage of returns this year. And we like to attribute it to the fact that it's a busy time of the year. And we put it aside. And we're going to do it tomorrow. And, oh, I forgot. I meant to bring the church. I know all the excuses. I've used them all. But we want to give you another chance to do it again and get it right. So we're going to offer anyone who did not turn in their commitment sheet, whether it be the pledge and or your time and talent on committees, to pick up one of these sheets at the back. Cindy Garrett will be back there. I might be back there with her to give them out. And hopefully could bring them back the next week. If you want to stand around and just do it then, that's fine too. But it's very important that your time and your talent is utilized for the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can't think of a better place to do it than in the church. There's six unique committees that you'll see. Christian Ed, Congregational Care, House and Property, Worship, Outreach, Stewardship. What do they do? Come and find out. Whatever piques your interest, please join us. Most of the committees meet on the first, well, all of them meet on the first Sunday of the month. Most of us meet after church, some before church at 8:30. The advantage of meeting at 8:30 is it's got to be over with by 9:30 because of Sunday school. Cindy. So I'm on the stewardship committee. So look at this. We're also going into a new phase that most of us don't know of our accounting system, giving system here at the church. If you decide to pledge a certain amount of money, it helps with the budget process of knowing how much we do have to work with. We've been very fortunate in the past where we haven't asked you one year, and it worked out pretty good. But the same thing came in, it went out. But it still helps with our processing of what we know we can do with the money we have at hand or what we might can do. So your resource and your time, as well as your gift, monetary gift, is very much important, very important. We ask if you can gather here at the church and grow here at the church and go out as a body of the church each week. If you would be so kind to pick one of these up, if you need one, if you want one. If you can't pledge money, but can at this time, don't know. You're working on consignment or something like that. But we do know we all have time and talent. Pick them up at the back. Bring them back next week. There's a name on the bottom of the letter, which will be in your, not be in the next newsletter of the members of the stewardship committee. You can give it to either any of them. You can mail it to the church. You can fold it up and put it in the offering plate where nobody else will see it next Sunday. But pray about it. The most important thing I said this morning, pray about it and do what God leads you to do. Thank you.
Kayla. Thank you. As Kayla is coming forward, I want to make a quick reminder. If you did not get a card, one of the note cards coming in, if you will raise your hand as Kayla is finishing, one of the ushers will bring those to you. So if you did not get a white note card, raise your hand.
Okay, so I'm here to talk about the Easter egg hunt this year. I feel like it was just Christmas, so it's kind of strange to talk about the Easter egg hunt. But it's March 31st at 11 a.m., and we're actually combining with the Christian Stronghold Church right down the street. So we're actually going to do a joint Easter egg hunt with them. If you didn't know, we've been doing a lot of merging with them, and they've been helping with our Saturday morning breakfast, and they're really awesome, so I really encourage you to come. Even if you don't, you know, bring any kids with you, just to come meet our neighbors, because there's some really great people over there. So we're doing that. It starts at 11 and goes till 1 p.m. We need to bring individually wrapped candy, and that's just to make sure, you know, kids can get the candy they need and it's not contaminated if there's any allergies. And then baked goods as well for the kids. So if you feel called to bake a bunch of cookies, we're not sure exactly yet how many kids they're expecting to have. So just bake more than you usually would if you usually do contribute to our Easter egg hunt. And like I said, we just invite all of you to come, even if you don't want to participate with, you know, bringing a child with you. Just come and meet our neighbors and have that fellowship with them. I'm also going to, while I'm up here, we're going to talk about the Joe Willie's fundraiser. We've been doing this for a long time, and Joe Willie's has done a really awesome job helping us out. And it helps us raise funds for the youth for their trips this summer. And I'm sure we'll have an announcement at some point as it gets closer, but that's going to be April 19th at 5:30. And all you have to do is come and eat. All you have to do is come and eat. Bring your friends, bring your family. It's a great time to have fellowship with your other members here. And we get all the tips that night and a percentage of all of the revenue they bring in. So just a couple of good things coming up. We're really excited. Thank you.
And Janice Russell with us. And I was handed this note. Where is Janice? There she is, Janice. Janice finished with an All-American bronze medal in her weight class at the National Collegiate Wrestling Tournament. That's pretty sweet. She is little, but she is mighty. Let me tell you, she is mighty. Congratulations. We are very proud of you. For our prayer list this morning, we would like you to add, if you will, or I guess continue praying for Lewis, who is still awaiting some information on back surgery, but in the meantime is having to deal with some blood clots and is seeing a vascular surgeon or a doctor for those. And so continue to keep him in your prayers. Tom, it's good to see you here this morning. We are glad that you are healing well. If there are others that I have missed, just please let me know, and we will get them on our prayer list next week. Janice, you are not a visitor, and Laura, you are not a visitor, but you are. So we are glad you are here this morning. And any faces that you see that are not familiar to you this morning, I pray that you will offer them a word of welcome. As we prepare our hearts this morning for grace and for gratitude to God, let us go to God in prayer. You're here, Lord, in this place now. And not only do we stand in awe of how great you are, larger than our imagination, but we also, God, can scarcely comprehend that you are with us in this very moment. In extraordinary as well as common everyday ways, you make your presence known to us. And this is your time of worship, God. And so do great things with us right now in this place and in the week which lies ahead of us. We give you thanksgiving, God, for this gathering place, for those gathered around us, and for the grace and the gratitude that we gather together in our hearts and offer you in this service. We pray this in our Heavenly Father's name and in Christ, who is the strength and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. Please join with me. We come to the one who pours forgiveness into our lives, praying. Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see what we've not seen before in familiar words from Scripture. Help us to dig deep as the Scripture goes. And by the power of your Spirit, give us understanding, wisdom, and strength to follow as you lead. This is our prayer in the name of our Lord. Amen. Today, our Old Testament reading can be found in your pew Bible, which is in the rack underneath your pew, page 139, and it's Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Or, they sent out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live.
Thank you.
The second reading comes this morning, straight from the text that we just heard the choir sing, John 3, verses 14 through 21. And if you listen closely to the beginning, it refers back to the Numbers passage that Denise read earlier. Listen for the word of the Lord. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. And for all who do love evil hate the light, and they don't come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The grass withers, but the word of our Lord lasts forever. Amen. I invite you to sing.
Oh,
my Bible sword drill days and the King James Version of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Most often it's quoted as that sort of standalone verse, one of the first verses that we learn in our younger years. It is a conversion verse, if you will. Believe and you will be saved. And I agree with that. But there's so much more that's going on before and after this 16th verse that helps us better understand John 3:16 and makes it all the more rich. Prior to our reading, Nicodemus has come to Jesus in the dark of night. He has this restlessness, this yearning, this kind of seeking. And he asks of the Lord, "What do I need to do to be right with God? How can I have a more meaningful, a more purposeful life?" And if we're honest, who among us has not been lying on our back, staring at the ceiling in the middle of the night, and perhaps asked the same thing? What do I need to do, Lord, to become closer to you? What do I need to do to make my life meaningful and purposeful as a disciple? Nicodemus is a learned man. He is a religious leader. He is a Pharisee, and yet his heart knows that something is amiss in his relationship with God. And unlike many of his fellow Pharisees, he really doesn't believe that his education or his religious status are going to give him an instant in with God. And so under the cover of dark, perhaps less likely to be seen by his colleagues, and maybe because it's nighttime, and nighttime seems to be, for many of us, that time when we need to come to Jesus, that time when our heads and our hearts sort of race with every worry of the day, every plan, every possibility, whether that's good or not, and we just can't shut our minds off. And it's good to have someone to talk with. But whatever the reason, and Scripture doesn't tell us exactly, Nicodemus acknowledges that if anyone can help him with this restlessness and with this longing, Jesus can. And Jesus speaks clearly to him. He makes it clear that salvation, that restored and that whole life with God, is not about what we do or who we know in life. Salvation is about being reborn to the truth that God offers us the gift of a forgiven, eternal life, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. What we can do, though, is that we can accept the gift or not. Apparently, daylight savings time is that gift or not that some do and do not accept. We might see here in a few more minutes whether somebody decided to accept it or not. I don't know. But I read a story about a man who refused to change his clock setting in the spring. He was a farmer. And for the entirety of his life and his livelihood, he paid more attention to the sun than he did to the hands on a clock. And it didn't bother him that he was out of step with his friends around him. You know, he said, "I have the same number of hours in a day that you do. If the sun is up, I work. If the sun is down, I rest." And in his sort of laid-back farmer wisdom, He had no problem telling others that while these timepieces that we wear on our wrist and put in our homes and use on our phones, those really can be controlled by the human hand. But the sun, the giver of light by day, the moon, the giver of light by night, we can't control. All we can do, he said, is place ourselves in the best position to make the most of the light that we have. All we can do is place ourselves in the best position to make the most of the light that we have. And when it comes to the light that John is talking about, we know that he is talking about Jesus the Christ. And that the best thing that we can do is to position ourselves to stand in and to stand up to the light of Christ that is already within us. Jesus is the light who has come to help us put aside that uneasiness, that restlessness, that seeking, and that yearning that we have that comes when the world's darkness comes and sort of hovers over us, or in some cases, invades our space. And even if the darkness is sometimes of our own choosing, Jesus says you still have a choice to turn away from the darkness and to turn to the light. That is God's ultimate invitation of grace. To turn to the light of Christ mends our relationship with God. And if we can mend our relationship with God, most surely we can mend our relationship with one another. And the thing is, choosing has always been a part of God's plan of love, of deliverance, of salvation. And if we take a sneak peek back at Moses, we will see God's patience. In our story today, it is the last in a long line of complaining stories. This time it's not just leveled at Moses, though. The belly aching of the people actually make their way to God's ears. Thanks, God, for bringing us out of Egypt and slavery, but seriously, we had more food back in Egypt than we do here in the desert. And it's funny because I never really noticed that little sentence that follows after that, but it is so powerful. Not only do they not have the food they had in Egypt, they say, we don't have food that's Rachel Ray quality either. I mean, seriously? Talk about being spoiled. But I think each and every one of us have been guilty of doing sort of the same thing. Asking God, why not more? Why not better, God? Why not right now? I ask you for it. Where are you? Well, God's answer to the Israelites is swift. Complaints and poisonous snakes do make a deadly combination. Makes you want to think about griping and complaining and moaning and groaning, doesn't it? In our own personal lives, I think before we even realize it sometimes, complaining is that thing that sort of sucks the air out of us, but more importantly, it sucks the gratitude out of us. It sucks out the enjoyment of life. All we can see in front of us is that darkness, that negativity. And I think all too often, we tend to recognize God's blessings on the one hand, but then we sort of sometimes bargain with God to see if those blessings just, could they not be a little more to our liking? That was a good blessing, God, but you know, if you had just done, That would have been the icing on the cake. Sometimes we liken God, I think, to our own personal help line, and yet when help comes, how often do we forget to say thank you? We do on the big things. I do on the big things. But I will tell you, every single day as I walk through life, there are countless times that I need to be saying thank you, God. And I just don't. I discount the blessings of God way too often. This sort of complaining, I think, that the world has taken up as being normal numbs us. Complaining numbs us from those every kind of joyful days that we can have, and we spend so much time wrestling with the complaints that we forget to lean on the blessings that we have received. And if we're not careful, it will transform our relationship with God. We talked in Sunday school this morning about entering this sanctuary every week with thank you, God. If each one of us came into this sanctuary every week, week after week, and said thank you, God, how would your worship experience be different? How would it set the tone for what's going on? I think one thing, it would move us away from some of the bitterness that maybe we feel against God for whatever reason. Probably some of the bitterness that we feel against one another. What more can we ask anytime? But especially as we come through these worship doors, what more can we ask than the forever love and the forever life that God has given us in Jesus Christ? John 3:16 and the surrounding pericope around it is about a very personal relationship with our triune God. It's clear, it is concise, it is full of grace. Believe in God's love for this world. Believe that love is so great that God has forgiven our sins through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Lord of our life. He is our light in our darkness. Believe with your heart and then act with your hands, your hearts, your word. And if we do that, we will have a forever healed and a whole life with our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. Complaining can destroy the joy, the absolute joy, out of being in a right relationship with God. And in the case of unbelievers, which we know surround us evermore in our time, in the case of those unbelievers, our complaining can keep them away from a relationship with the Lord. And to be kept away from a relationship with the Lord is life's ultimate darkness. And God answers that darkness with these words. The light of Christ was sent into the world, not to condemn us, sinners, complainers, wayward travelers that we are. God's word was sent into the world to save us. To save us, I think, from all of that darkness that Satan spews into the world. And yes, I think to even save us from ourselves. Our complaining, our moaning, our groaning, our grousing, our griping, whatever it is we want to call it, it is dangerous. It can seep into every crack and every crevice of our lives and lead us to believe that we live this incredibly wonderful life of entitlement, like life owes us something. Who knows, maybe even life owes us a bigger and a better God. The healing that we need in this world today comes when we begin by confessing that we are sinners. To be healed and to be returned to that full measure of life that God intends for us, the Israelites had to remember that God's grace was abundant and it was unearned and it was never unending. And every time they made their way back to that truth, they found the joy of the Lord. So for us to return to the fullness of life that God intends for us, all of us have to be willing to accept the gift that God's salvation comes not to us out of condemnation, it comes not to us out of blame, but from the very depths, and as we sang, the width of God's love. When we choose to follow Christ out of darkness and into light, I believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I believe God's Son, Jesus, is my light, my salvation, my forever love and life. And I pray that with every opportunity the Lord puts in front of me, and I pray in front of all of us, that we place ourselves in the best positions to make the most of the light, capital L, so that we can be the light of Christ to others. Because many the gifts, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong to God. And so, Lord, let us be servants one to another, making Christ's kingdom come. Christ be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light. And Christ shine in your church, gathered here today and every day and everywhere. Thanks be to God who sent us Jesus Christ so that we could find our way out of the darkness and into Christ's light. Amen.
Please stand as we together affirm our faith.
You have in your bulletin a short explanation of a prayer full of thankfulness. I don't have a jar, but I have a bucket. And so this morning, What I'm going to ask you to do, you have the cards with you. I'm going to ask you to simply write a word of thanksgiving to God. A sentence, a word, a poem, a picture. Something that you feel so deep in your heart that you cannot stop from saying, thank you, God. At the end of the service, I will have this back in the narthex, and I invite you to simply put them in. You don't have to sign them. You can sign them if you want. It doesn't matter. But we'll put them in, and these will at one point become our prayers of thanksgiving for another service. This is a wonderful thing to do with children, to gather those, and at the end of a week, the beginning of the week, to say, let's go through our jar full of thanksgiving to God, and let's pray. I invite you to take a few moments to do that, and then I will close with prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. God of love, you sent Christ to us not to condemn us, but to save us and to save your world. You sent Christ to us so that we might walk in the light, so that we might be whole. And you sent Christ to us to show us the way of life that leads to your eternal life. And so we pray this morning that you call us away from the ways of the world that seem to think that quick fixes and short attention spans are the way to be, and instead call us into your deep and your abiding vision of hope for all of eternity. Lord, we put before you the names that we have offered you this morning. We pray especially not only your care, your comfort, but Lord, we pray your healing upon Roger and Janice and Jane. We ask that you continue to heal and to work within Lewis and Tom. And God, we are grateful for the gifts, the faithfulness, the dedication, and the calling of Wayne and Deidre as they serve your church in so many places. We lift our eyes up to you for all things, and we ask that you teach us to see beyond ourselves and to know that you and you alone are the author of our salvation. And in you, all things are new, and all things, Lord, are possible. And for that, we say thank you. And we say that knowing the prayer of provision that our Lord has taught us, and we join our voices together saying,
Scripture says, I don't speak from want because I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little
Gracious God, may we never take the gifts of
just a couple of reminders. This will be at the back of the sanctuary in the narthex, probably just in the middle of the floor, so don't kick it, but put stuff in it. And also, on your way out, remember that we have yet another chance to commit or even to recommit our gifts, our talents, our time. As the new hymn we sang this morning said, many the people, many the gifts. If you're not using your gift to the glory of God, now is a really good time to offer that up for the work of the Lord and for the work of this church. I would like you to turn to one another . I'm going to tell you what to say, but only say it if you really can mean it. So, this is what I want you to say. I want you to say, I'm going to let this little light of mine shine. If you can say that in truth, say it. Amen. And in all of that shining, may the love of God enfold us, the peace of Christ surround us, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit be the light in our path. Amen.